Oh, hello. I don't hear anything.
You don't hear nothing? I'm good.
So that's probably why. My headphones are disconnected.
And they are not wireless headphones.
Go talk.
Oh, well, Greg is inserting his jack into the...
I inserted my jack. Oh. Oh, boy. So,
I'm happy because I thought I had lost all the editing for the show we just posted. I had looked for it on several occasions. But see, procrastination pays off because I found it again. I found it tonight.
But so, if you would have maybe, looked harder, this wouldn't have been a situation.
No.
Jeff is lazy and cruel. I think we found that out this week.
Lazy and cruel. Well, it's that whole Jeff's an asshole thing, right? Most
right.
of the time I don't know I'm an asshole.
Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Jeff still holds it against me that didn't work that hard when I was being paid $7 an hour. I'm sure Jeff didn't work that hard when he was working at King's. In fact, he's told me stories. But that doesn't matter, because when I was actually, Jeff was technically above me, so he still holds it against me.
I had to manage a guy who wasn't working, so it was a difficult... I was friends with and had to manage you, so that was what made it difficult.
But
I was happy when I no longer had to manage you.
It was...
Since I was demoted in a not so... I don't know.
It was very public the way he was demoted.
So I became the much of the slacker that Greg was for that short period of time.
So, Yeah, I think it's really weird and kind of nasty that you hold that against me.
I don't hold it against you.
Sure you do. You said you wouldn't hire me based on that situation alone.
I said I wouldn't want to be your manager again.
We don't have any glasses, do we?
Guess not.
Let's pour it into my mouth. Oh.
I guess we pause and get some glasses.
All right, pause it. We have our favorite glasses, the Spielglau glasses. So, not much else happened this week. There was a small election thing.
Elections.
what amazed me about the election? This is going to go up next week anyway, so yeah. It's not like. It's not like any analysis we have is going to matter any. But what amazes me about this is, Nate Silver nailed it, right?
I'm not familiar with exactly what
Nate Silver, the 538 blog on New York Times.
Okay,
this was a state by state probabilities before the election and leading up to it.
Okay,
and 50-50.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, he was right on the money. And there was, like, 2 or 3 weeks before, about the time when we had recorded this thing, you're starting to get some backlash against Nate Silver, people saying, well, he was his 49 for 50 in 2008, but his 2010 model was a little bit off. And, his probably has been saying, his stuff has been saying for basically the entire election that Obama is going to win, but that goes against the current narrative that it's a horse race, it's anyone's game.
Mm-hmm.
So they were saying that essentially the arguments against Silver were in two camps. One camp was that something is wrong with his statistical analysis. So therefore it's weighting it towards Obama. And the second camp was that statistical analysis doesn't matter. We have libertarian free will, and that stats about polls can't show us anything. So I think that the second one is something that is worthy of derision, because if anything, we've showed that people actually do act in a very predictable way when you aggregate them together.
Right.
Especially if you ask them a simple question, a simple preference question. People are complex in their reasoning, but relatively simple in a predictive model with certain error bars. So that whole libertarian free will thing flies out the window. That's not the way it works. He was able to break this because people are fundamentally predictable on these certain issues. So go back to the statistical analysis thing. The thing that people were saying was that, well, his he bases his statistical analysis, he weights polls differently and stuff like that. But the thing that he was saying as it was approaching, and as especially as as it was coming down to the wires, as it was getting to November 5th, November 6th, he was saying, look, the only way that Obama can't win is if there is a the only way that Romney can win is if there's this major statistical anomaly in all the polls he's running. All the polls everybody is running. He doesn't run polls. Mm-hmm. He just aggregates the poll results. Mm-hmm. So it basically there would have to be a major systemic problem with every single poll because they were all showing the same information. Or he was right. And, well, he was right. The chances of 20 polls have all having the same systemic problem is pretty out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can demonstrate that it's possible, but not likely. And so, yeah, I mean, he nailed it. And it just goes, I mean, his star is rising and rising and rising now. He predicted two elections in a row.
I guess. I knew a year and a half ago Obama was going to win, so... So I had a gut feel that,
essentially
Democrats
so did,
were going to take
this. So did Nate Silver, but he didn't rely on gut feels. Yeah. He relied on, the stuff, the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, though, that he doesn't rely on gut feels at all. And people were saying that in their gut, they felt it was a horse race. In their gut, they felt that this was going to be, saying your gut doesn't matter.
Like my gut,
And the narrative that you play out to keep your, to keep the suspension of the story going, to keep, your 24-hour news network mm-hmm. going, that this was a horse race, that they were close. And frankly, they weren't close. I mean, the popular vote was closer than the Electoral College, which was basically a landslide.
Yeah,
close to it.
I mean, that's what it seemed like. It seemed, they called, all the states that they needed to call, they called relatively early. It seemed like it was a landslide. I mean, it wasn't close. And you hear that was like first thing I heard was, landslide. And then you hear all the talking points like, Boehner, he doesn't have a mandate, Are you sure about that? Just because he didn't take the House back.
Well, they're just trying to, they're trying to spin it their way. But yeah, I mean, it's good news. I'm glad that Obama. We'll get another 4 years. I'm glad that healthcare is here to stay.
So, 4 years ago, how my...
You should mention this beer, by the way.
We're drinking the Johnny Cask, the 75-minute IPA from Dogfish Head.
Johnny Cask? Is that what they call it?
I don't think they're allowed to put it on there anymore. I think that's why Johnny Cash has clown nose glasses and a mustache on.
So sort of a midway point between...
Yeah, it's actually a blend, I'm pretty sure.
Oh. All right, anyway, you were saying?
4 years ago, people have heard me say, I hope Obama wins because if there's ever any hope for TC changing, remember that?
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember it too. I was like that too.
So my thing this time is, my hope from this election is that it will bring the Republicans... back my way a little bit, make them a little more moderate.
I think that the point is, the real point that Republicans should take away from this is not that everybody hates Republicans. Everyone hates the way the Republicans are acting.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact of the matter is, are there good ideas on the conservative side? Yes, but if they temper it with all this nonsense and all this, Bible thumping crap and no compromise sensibility, then they're not going to get anywhere.
Right. So that's my thing this time. Obama was going to change DC. He didn't. This time, my pie-in-the-sky hope is that the Republicans become a more sane party. Something that I can relate to somewhat.
I said this last time. We have a two-party system, so we need to have there be two viable parties. It's insane for there to be only one viable party in a two-party system.
Depends what you mean by viable. They get, 2 years ago, the Tea Party thing was cresting and they...
I'm just saying,
Was that because it was an off-cycle thing? Do you think that could have happened on a even cycle, on a presidential election year? You think they could have crested?
I don't have the knowledge in political science to give you an idea to really answer that question well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
Is the Tea Party done?
We'll see. A lot of the Tea Party candidates lost. A lot of the more, you know, big time, you know, conservative candidates lost, like Todd Akins, the rape mm-hmm. bunch lost. So there was a tacit acknowledgement along the lines of Bill O'Reilly was on Fox the next day saying something along the lines of this is not the America we thought it was. So basically, yeah, it's not the America from the 1950s anymore. Get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that's Republicans need to figure out immigration.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get more moderate on some of these social views. And how about some Republicans that aren't all the same?
Yeah.
You know, how about one that believes in climate change or another one that believes in evolution? You know, it can't be that far out there. It's not like these are revolutionary ideas anymore. You know,
give me a viable choice. Give me a reason. I want a reason to vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be, because the Democrats can't just run hog wild. If you sequester yourself into this tiny bit of the electorate and just hunker down, you're going to get tinier and tinier and tinier, and the Democrats are going to run hog wild, and that's not good for anybody, unless you're a pure Democratic partisan.
Yeah, I mean the system should self correct, right? I mean there's going to be this opening, there's going to be this vacuum for moderate conservatives. You know, moderate Republican, and hopefully, there's the establishment that kept that from being filled the last couple of years. Hopefully, there's enough daylight there that they can.
I mean, watching the analysis, days coming up to the election, you hear about the Republicans crying about, well, we'd have this larger percentage of the white vote, the white vote, the white vote, the white vote. I mean, it was so obvious to me that it doesn't seem to you weird that you're just, concentrating on that white vote, and B, that's shrinking, and that's going to continue to shrink.
Yeah.
This is one of the first elections where those demographics really mattered. The fact that you can't just appeal to the base racial instincts of white people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good enough to win elections anymore.
I mean, it's good. I mean, I'm happy. You know, it's interesting that it's all coming about. Maybe there's always this kind of sea change when everyone turns, middle age, adult, where you're really cognizant of history, at least recent history
uh-huh.
and whatnot. And like you see, okay, black president, all the brown people are important now,
uh-huh.
And I'm just, and then especially the talk after election about, I don't know if, about having to take these, how whites are going to not be the majority of all the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
The mixes of the minorities are going to be the majority, So, I don't know. I mean, I'm having a hard, I'm trying to figure out how to say this clearly. I'm perfectly fine with it. It's like, it's not my country to protect, I realize that, hey, I immigrated, or my family immigrated too, and what great hypocrisy is it that,
technically it's mine. We're all immigrants.
I know, but what great hypocrisy is it, this is mine,
Even the Native Americans immigrated 30,000 years ago across a land bridge. Technically, there were no humans in this area.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, but, the people that are protectionist about this, it just...
Some of them are the answer is some of them are deluded, some of them are just pure racist, and some of them just haven't thought about it enough mm-hmm. or have their priority is set in the wrong way.
Something I've been thinking about a little bit, I don't think we've brought this up. I'm trying to think back if we have, because this thought's crossed my mind a couple times, and again this week, with the whole fiscal cliff and all this stuff. Is
our children learning?
Well, that's part of it. But, I mean, is a large society, a large country, inevitably doomed, Greeks, Romans, British. The British didn't really fall all the way out, right? I mean, Chinese, they had a couple centuries of underachievement after being an empire, are we screwed? You know, is there no way to maintain the infrastructure and everything that's been built up?
Yes. I absolutely believe so.
So I guess the key is to only fall as far as Britain has and not as far as the empires that have, you know, disappeared, you know.
I'll paraphrase Eric Holder. Every great cause begins as a movement, denigrates into a business, and then dissolves into a racket. Hmm. And any great cause, and I include democracy in that. I think some are just slower than others. And it's kind of a manifestation of the second law of thermodynamics. It's just a manifestation of the fact that disorder becomes harder and harder to control as the system gets larger and more and more unkempt.
Right. No. It only needs to stay intact for another 60 years or so, and that's plenty long enough for both of us.
There is always going to be, and that's the whole point of, you know, the cycle of revolution, things like that, right? Every once in a while, things need to be severely cleaned up and things need to be paved over.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think that there's going to be let's put it this way, judging by history, no, I don't think that there's a way that the United States endures forever. Lines,
right? I mean,
but it will have, and it can continue to have a pretty good run of the sun. You know,
right?
But yes, yeah. All things tend to go to zero. All things tend to go to their lowest energy state.
I'm just trying to, you know, everyone has fond memory, you know, like the good old days, you know, especially post-war boom time, good old days, you know. Two questions there, you know, like.
There'll be another boom.
Yeah.
And there'll be another bust.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it was very cyclical. It's just the, you know, to get back to the, you know, the thriving middle class. You know, all the things we talked about this election, the middle class that, you know, your grandparents remember, you know, again, it's just like the white America, you know, the mostly white America, it's gone. You can't,
yeah, that
with
is
globalization,
gone.
You can't have that middle class where you just did an easy manufacturing job and made enough money to have two cars and go on vacation. You know,
yes.
That's, you just can't do that kind of work and have that kind of lifestyle anymore.
It's true.
And there's just no way to get it back. You just have to evolve and come up with the...
That genie's out of the bottle. I mean, the globalization genie has brought us wonderful, wonderful things. We pay a price for that in terms of what we can do. And the fact of the matter is that manufacturing is now something that, you know, that is taken up easier by places where they can pay their employees a lot less.
Mm-hmm. The question is how do you reestablish the middle class, and it has to be with more education, you know, more training at least, right? You have to be able to do more skilled jobs. Does the middle class have the capacity, right? You know, if you take the mean, or the people there, you know, like, is it just because of, you know, the lack of the education, or do those people just not have the capacity to hit what, you know, the jobs that need to go in the middle, you know, the people that are, you know, the ones that are at the low end, you know, falling out of the middle class, right?
Well, I think there's a severe problem in terms of income inequality, income disparity, and if you increase the taxes on the people who are very, very high, then some of that will drop. It won't be as easy for them to just divorce themselves from society like they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And then more money is available in those other regions. I'm not an economist. I'm not.
Right.
And that's that. I've chosen to study other things. So my understanding of economic issues is pretty poor. But I know that income inequality is bad.
Right. You know, it's funny. You know, you talk about, you know, you're not an economist. Recently, you know, over the last 6 months or so, I've really taken a shine to economist views on things, not just on the economy, you know, the biggie economy, but, you know, like the economics of going to college versus not going to college, the economics of having a kid, not having a kid, the economics of, we talked about last time in the post show, we talked about, you know, the risks of having an abortion versus giving birth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a direct tie into economics, but it's that whole thing. Let's look at the picture and see how things come out in the end. Like, you know, usually on the money thing, you know, with economics, by definition, it's the money side of it.
Well, but I mean, well, technically economics is a study of allocation of limited resources. I think you can take it to that extension, and then you can apply that in a whole bunch of different ways.
Right.
You can do the economics of battery life, for example. You can do economics of all types of things. But in terms of, that's not economic. That's socionomics. It's a social question.
Yeah, so like one of the podcasts I listen to is Freakonomics, right? It's a thing. They do it on Marketplace, but they also do ones that aren't on. And it's just like when I started listening to these, they're really fascinating studies looking at things through different angles. And, you know, they're economists. And I'm like, you know what? I like economists. You know, generally politics don't come into play. Generally, they're able to look at, imagine this, someone who looks at both sides of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine that. Holy crap. And I'm really liking economists all of a sudden.
As long as they start with a good null hypothesis, then it should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. The null hypothesis is important. A lot of people don't consider that. I mean, the null hypothesis is basically, okay, so you set up any experiment or any thought experiment, there should be something that is the sort of default, the go-to, that, you know, if everything fails, it's going to be in this state. That's your null hypothesis. So if I run 5 different computers overnight, the null hypothesis is that one of them won't work at all. There's your null hypothesis. But then you have, so that's an option among all the 5, but then you try to see how long each lasts on his battery or something like that.
So not to the presidential election so much, back to voting. You're voting. How many other things did you vote for? Did you win? Did you vote for the winning candidate? How many did you vote for a losing candidate?
I haven't checked to see all the statewide races, so I don't really know.
I see. The top 2 parts of the ticket, I won.
Yay!
I voted Democrat for President and Senate. And then everything else, I lost. Well, except for the guy who was running unopposed. He got a vote because I didn't feel like writing anything in.
Barney Gumbel.
So I voted Libertarian for the 3 state row offices.
Libertarian?
I thought Libertarian Attorney General would be pretty good. Don't you think that'd be a good one?
That would be probably one where I would like that, yeah.
Yeah, Libertarian Treasurer, you know. Actually, you know what? No, for Treasurer, I voted Republican for Treasurer, actually.
Ugh.
And the Democrat won. And I voted Democrat for Congress. Oh, I'm pissed. I'm all gerrymandered here. My congressional district is fucked up. Damn Republicans in the state house redrawing those things. They really screwed Altmaier and the district just below me, Jason Altmaier and Mark Kritz. They had to go head-to-head in the primary. You know, Democrats had to go head-to-head in primary, and Kritz won. And then they had to go against Keith Rothfuss, and Rothfuss, you know, just that seat went Republican this time. And my seat, it's horrible. It's like, it's Cranberry Township in the west side of Butler County, and it goes all the way up to Erie and across it.
The way they district things is very annoying. The gerrymandering is.
And my state rep was involved with Oh, my state rep ran unopposed. He's that conservative guy that doesn't stray from the company line at all. You know, life and some of the stuff's okay. Second Amendment rights, go for it. I'm all for Second Amendment rights. But just about everything else. And he was strong on the voter ID. You know, him and Terzai were like the two big guys in the voter ID. And so voter ID, big loss. What was the other thing? Because you go to his website, he has like hot topics. And like, no, okay, no. And like other things that are, I think should be hot topic, not on there. Ran unopposed, which makes me mad, but I don't think.
Probably one of those no on global warming guys, right? Yeah.
It's a tough district for a Democrat, I think, for State House, though, the townships that he represents. Maybe I should run next time. But him with the voter ID and also the redistricting thing was the main thing that pissed me off.
If you run, they're going to go through the entire backlog of our podcast and find something.
Be so fucked. Or just own it, right?
Yeah, that's what I would do, yeah.
You know exactly what I stand for, like it or not.
And yeah, I talked about shaving my pubes or whatever.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I voted Libertarian for the state row offices, except for treasurer, because I thought
I didn't choose straight Democrat, but I voted for all Democrats because I don't feel like I can trust any Republican right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I could have gone Libertarian for Attorney General. That's probably one where I would say, okay, for somebody who's doing the law stuff, I would want a Libertarian there. I would want somebody who says, you can do whatever the hell you want.
Right. I mean, I saw that. I'm like, hell yeah, vote Libertarian. So I only won the top two. I threw away those Libertarian votes, but like not like it matters. State row offices, treasurer, attorney general, and what was the other one? It was not important enough to remember, I guess. Definitely not important enough to really stall the show on. What else? I cut down a tree today. Big tree. So it was a big old maple tree that was leaning over my fence in my backyard and didn't look very healthy, and I didn't want to take out my fence. So we started but it's leaning over the fence, right? So like last weekend, I took off a bunch of limbs that were I'm trying to change the center of gravity so it won't, when we chop it down, it won't fall, the wrong way. And I did everything I could do, and it still was not sure. So we had ropes tying it off, and we're pulling on the ropes as the guy's working the chainsaw. And like the chainsaw's like almost the whole way through the tree, and it's not falling. And it's like, oh my god, these two ropes are counterbalancing the other lean like perfectly, which is like, well, I guess that's good that it's only a few hundred pounds of lean uphill and not a couple thousand pounds of lean, because that would be bad. And we just started like pulling on the ropes, rocking the tree a little bit, which was like freaking me out. Cause like, what if it decides to go the other way on these rocks? But we were able to pull it down. So I'm a lumberjack.
And you're okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I think getting some alcohol on us will free our thoughts for the post show.
Oh, the post show. Greg's going to put me in crossfire.
There's stuff to talk about.